Another pod and another opportunity for us to state a case for the defence. We analyse the form of some of the game's popular players. We discuss if Mateta is must-have given his fixtures. And yes, my wildcard didn't go well. I'm going to start this podcast with a disclaimer. I don't want to be here. I wildcarded. It didn't go well. Yes, Kelly Summers what back happens? On the FPL pod with, as you heard, Julian Laron and Sam Bumfield. Not only did these two outscore me, have Van de Ven, who I didn't have. They're both on holiday, so they're both winning at life. And I'm losing in rainy England. Hi, guys. Lovely to be back with you. Kelly. Just what I wanted to be doing. Sam, as you've not been quite as gloaty already, how are you doing? You had a good game week, having a good holiday? What time to be Sam Bonfield?
I tell you what, Kels, honestly, I was probably unbearable on Sunday because when Mickey van der Ven scored that brace, the better half of FPL family, he sold Mickey van der Ven heading into this game week. So you can imagine
it could be worse.
I feel better now. Exactly. Imagine being out for dinner with me, with Mickey van der Ven on my bench boost and having to deal with not only Spurs winning, but it being Mickey and having sold him. I did actually think I might be coming back from this holiday without a husband. It was that bad. But yeah, I had a great week. So it's been wonderful. Thanks.
Go on, Jules. How good's your week been?
Much better than yours, Kels. That's for sure. Almost twice your point. I mean, wild carding usually, you know, gets your points. I mean, my defense was on fire.
Yeah, do you know what though?
Your defense is usually terrified.
Do you know what? My defense actually kind of salvaged what was a terrible week. The thing is, I don't dislike my team. It's really weird. One of my other colleagues that I work with also wildcarded this week. We had quite similar teams. I think there was two or three differences. Unfortunately, one of his was Krupa Jr. So that was a difference because Krupa Jr. actually scored. But I looked at my team again for this week. I still don't dislike it. Obviously, it's easy to say I regret not having Van de Ven now, but I didn't consider him. And probably I still would. Maybe I would. It's so hard when someone's got 23 points to say you wouldn't. But I actually don't dislike my team. And you have to remind yourself, I think, at this point, Sam, there's been so many horror stories, hasn't there, with wild cards and people like, for example, Salah scoring this week. Like that was written in the stars, but I still don't mind that I sold Mo Salah. I still stand by that. But a wild card isn't for 1 week. And often this happens, doesn't it? The first week you wild card, it doesn't go to plan and you have to just kind of push through it and realise it's for the bigger picture. That's what I'm telling myself anyway.
Yeah, remember that a wild card isn't literally just for that game week. If you free hit and it goes badly, that's a disaster. But if you've wild carded, you've done it for a particular reason over the next 3, 4, 5 weeks, or in your case, probably with a view of the next, you know, 10 weeks in mind up till sort of game week 19 when we get the next one. So yeah, I don't panic. Like the fact that it's not gone well this week, it doesn't look great. And I think it probably doesn't help that you've like slipped in the mini league as well. And that's always the worst feeling.
Oh, she's brought
it up. Did you as well?
I knew she'd bring that up. Because finally, sorry, but Sam, you should have been above me throughout. Let's be honest. You're the one that's the expert on this podcast. You're actually a good FPL player. I'm just here talking about it, kind of trying to keep you two in line. But yeah, you did overtake me. But also you should overtake me, even on a wildcard, with a bench boost active. By the way, we spoke about Jules's incredible bench boost last week. Hats off, because talk us through what your bench looked like and the points you got from that.
Yeah, it was decent. So I had, a spoiler alert, I was on an aeroplane when the Gabriel team, whether he was going to start or not, broke. So obviously I couldn't react to it. So he landed and I was like, what do you mean Gabriel was a doubt? Why is he flagged? This is a disaster. Anyway, he was on my bench anyway because I was playing Timber. So I had Dubravka, who I was frustrated that he lost his clean sheet. But anyway, Dubravka with 2, Caicedo with 2, Gabriel with 9, and then obviously Van der Ven with 23. So that was a very successful bench boost, but mostly thanks to Mickey, because, you know, I would have taken, to be honest, I sort of said, if I can get more than 15 on a bench boost, that feels like a decent return.
Yeah.
So for them to, for Gabriel and Van der Ven to get, 32 between them.
So you got 36 on your bench boost, didn't you? That's like last week I literally said it when we were congratulating Jules. I didn't think that could be better, but fair play. That is that is a good bench boost. Oh my God, I would have laughed so much though if you hadn't bench boosted me with your third sub.
Oh my God, could you imagine? Imagine if I hadn't, it would have been absolute, and that would have really upset me, because you know how I feel about Mickey van der Ven. So for me, it was kind of written in the stars that he was gonna be the bit of the hero of my week, because I was like I was really frustrated with the Dubravka stuff, the Caicedo thing. So I was like, oh, but at least Caicedo played, so I had points out of him. So, you know, that was good. Like the fact that I got through a bench boost and everyone had played, all 15 of them, that felt good. The goalkeepers were both massively disappointing, for Pope and Dubravka not to get clean sheets. That was really disappointing. But yeah, actually, to be honest, Kels, that's why when you look at it, in the cold light of day with your team versus mine. Like mine is saved by the bench boost, because otherwise we'd be on very similar points for this week. Because my actual 11 didn't do very much. Like Haaland blanking, that doesn't happen very often. João Pedro was again a frustration. Walter Mader, who I brought in, was frustrating. Saka, in fact, you know, across the midfield, if you look at my midfield, it's like Saka, Reinders, Kudus and Semenyo. Absolutely nothing across
the same midfield, but same points. I didn't have any returns and same with my forwards too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was only really Timber and Sanetti in my starting 11 that really did anything. So definitely saved by Mickey. And a really good bench boost. So I ended up on 69 for the week. And it's another really, really nice big green arrow. So happy with that.
Jules, you had a lot of points on your bench, didn't you? Well, I bet you wish you had another bench boost.
But you know what? I think, and we will talk again about defenders later on the show, but I think that the most difficult really now is to pick the four or three best one amongst your five, because right now the ones returning are your defenders, whether they score like Mickey van der Ven, and he's not going to score two every week anyway, or they don't concede, or they get the DEFCON points, or an assist somewhere, or a bit of a mix of everything. And this time, to be fair, I started O'Reilly thinking that City against Villa, even away from home, could do something. And with him being at the start of it, and Guardiola went for like a more defensive-minded team, and O'Reilly was only on the bench when Gay was on the bench because he played against Arsenal and Saka, Gabriel and Timber, etc. But Gay got 4 points. Petrovic in goal on the bench with 8 against Pope that Sam mentioned with only 3. And I debated a lot between the two, and I just thought, okay, Pope against Fulham, that should be fine. And it wasn't. So yeah, it was a little bit frustrating. So in the end, I've got 9, 10, 18 points on the bench because Minté also returned at Old Trafford against United.
Wish I'd had 18 points on the bench for half the total of my entire
team. That's probably
team.
The amount of points you got for the whole week.
No, just to talk you through, because obviously I spoke about my wild card on last week's show. If listeners haven't tracked down my team and seen what I did, I will tell you what my team was. I did get 39 points, but I went with Robert Sanchez in the ending goal. I think I maybe had Petrovic the last time we recorded on Thursday. Well, I should have kept him, shouldn't I? But I found a little bit of extra money. I had a little bit of a tinker around. So I did Senesi, Gabriel and Timber, and then Mukiele and Richards. Richards was, I had Rodon, by the way, in my team all week. And then I fiddled things around and went for Richards over Rodon. So that would have also been more points. Again, though, happy to have Richards longer term. You just kind of think, you have to think Rodon isn't going to score like that every single week. That's what I'm telling myself anyway. My midfield is Sarr, Semenyo, Enzo and Saka. They just about got double points between them. And I went with Granit Xhaka. I downgraded. I kept Enzo. We talked about last week about whether Enzo versus Caicedo, but you're normally the stats person on this show, Sam, but I actually did a bit of look into the underlying stats and stuff and decided that in the end, I thought that Enzo was worth the extra money. And if I want to, I can go down from him, or I've got someone then at that 6.5. Still not sold on Ismaïla Sarr. That's my Watford bias coming out. And Granit Xhaka, he's going to play each week. He was unlucky not to get more at the weekend. Sunderland looking good form. I'm quite happy with that. As at that price point, I thought it was a good value. And then I thought my forwards were brilliant. I thought they were going to go wild last week. And even with captaining Haaland, they didn't get double points, double figures. I got Walter Mader, Mateta and Haaland. Thanks, lads. Anyway, that's my team. I ended on 39 points.
Really,
and the only
team
way is up. Let's move on to the FPL Pod Mini League. Enough about us for now. We've got another leader at the top. Norman Dearden and his team, Return of the Moisiah, lead the way after getting 65 points this week. He had returns from, of course he did, Van de Ven, Gabriel Senesi and Eza. He's 2 points ahead of Rajat Sharma in second. All of the current top 10 captained Haaland for his blank against Aston Villa. So we weren't alone. With the exception of Joan Wayman in ninth, he was brave and opted for Walter Mader. I'm sorry, but I still don't know how Walter Mader didn't return in that. That chance that he had summed up my whole game week. Once he missed that, I was like, it's not going to go well, is it? A reminder, if you haven't joined us, the code is XY6XPL. Okay, then let's talk about Big at the Back, because it feels like I present the fantasy TV show as well. I present this podcast. I talk about FPL a lot, and we spend a lot of the time talking about defenders. And on a week where we saw, in case you hadn't heard, Van de Ven got 23 points. Matt Cash was the second highest scoring player with 15 points. And as mentioned, Rodon also scored big with 13 points. And there was Porro, 11, sold him on my wildcard. Trufer, Gabriel, Shaw, Danzo, they were on 9. Konza and Pau Torres all got 8. So I think that just backs up everything we're saying, Sam, does it not?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's highlighting that big at the back is definitely, or four at the back anyway, is definitely the right strategy. But it also highlights that you don't need to go big at the back, doesn't it? Because if you look at those players, none of them are the expensive ones.
Go big at the back in terms of numbers, but not in terms of cost. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like in terms of formation,
Yeah, in the past we used to go, oh, you've got to go big at the back by Trent, by Gabriel, by Saliba, like all of these expensive players. But actually the reality of this week's highest scoring defenders that you've just reeled out is that with the exception of Gabriel, these are all really cheap assets. These are all in the four and a half to five bracket. They're all really cheap budget enabling defenders. So it does mean that you can play four. It is going to be something that I think is hard to do in some ways because you build this wildcard team or this team that you've created. And unless you burn one of the front eight slots, it becomes quite hard to play four at the back. And you saw it this week, Kels, right? You have to kind of shift your formation in the way that you think and maybe move to a 3-3 or go 4-4-2 or however you want to do it. But yeah, I definitely think moving forward, now that my bench piece is played, four at the back feels like the way to go.
Yeah, it does for me as well. And like, it is nice, even with having Mukiele and Richards in there, actually you can get points. I mean, Jules, you've had Gahey throughout and I know he's had price rises, but you really don't need to spend much. It feels like, we said it last week, didn't we? You go with your Timber and your Gabriel, but even the regular points they're providing, they're not above, I mean, Gabriel is, but Timber hasn't had another price rise, has he, to go above six, Sam? Is he still 5'9"?
Yeah, 6.1.
He's gone up 6.1.
But rightly,
oh my
so,
gosh,
yeah.
I missed both of those. Oh, that means my team value have gone up because team value killed me with my wild card, as we saw. But they're above 6 million, but actually if you got them at the right, particularly Timber, if you got him at the right point, he wasn't. And it does just show, if you, aside from those, you don't need to spend loads to still get the same kind of points.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said earlier, I think the hardest bit really is to pick four of your five. Because even the ones that you might have got in your squad to be just your budget defender, a 4.5 can return, as we saw with the Sunderland defense. Like, Mukiele is a really good pick that you have. Alderete, we mentioned before. Ballard, we mentioned. You could look at Senesi. You could look at Gehi again. I know they're better teams, really, Bournemouth and Palace. But overall, that's the idea. And you know, you usually will have five really good defenders that could return every week now. It's just about picking the right four. But if you look at the importance of set pieces this season in the Premier League, incredible. Long throws, corners, wide free kicks. Every team seems to be even more threatening than it used to in the past. So that adds to the value of your defenders, because now they can score more goals than ever. Not just Arsenal, but if you look, a lot of other teams are becoming more and more efficient on all those kind of dead balls situations, really. Plus the DEFCONs have changed the dynamic. We said that before. So now, more than ever, go four at the back every single day. There's not even a doubt. Don't think about it, because that's where the points are. It would be silly to go just for a back three. And on top of that, if you get the right four defenders, then you're good.
It's also changed the way I think about defensive transfers too, Sam, to be honest. When I was making my wild card, I was like in the past, I would just never have wanted to change a defender. Whereas now I'm like, actually, I don't mind that. I don't mind in a bit moving Chris Richards to someone else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, particularly if you're going to have a couple of Arsenal defenders in there, because you're probably locked in on them. Senesi feels like he's going to be a lock in most people's teams. So those other two defender slots feel like you can move around and you can pick different ones. And it no longer feels like a waste of time doing that if you're going to play four at the back, because in the past you'd have your two Arsenal, you'd maybe have one other, and that would be it. You just lock in, and the other two, it's kind of like, well, they're just going to sit there until you bench boost, or if you've already bench boosted, maybe you've taken money out of them and they're 4.0s. But this season, it definitely feels like you can look at the fixture runs. And that's why a lot of people, right, sold Mickey van der Ven last week, because the Spurs fixtures are a little bit tougher coming up. So you can see why people were doing it, because they're moving towards the defences that have got, you know, better fixtures over the coming weeks. So yeah, for sure. I think in a way that I haven't been before, I'm looking at the defensive transfers and thinking I'm more likely to change those positions maybe than I am the midfielders or the forwards.
And the ownership now is so high of those defenders. Gabriel is almost 40%.
Those three,
if he scores.
Yeah, it's so true. I thought that.
So
even
if Gabriel does something, even Senesi, Van de Ven is now 32%. Timber is almost 25%. Gehi's 33%. So if those guys return, it's not as much as 60% for, you know, João Pedro or Salah, or 75% of Haaland, obviously. But still, that's enough to hurt you. And as we said, if you get Van de Ven this week, it's a good week. If you don't have Mickey Van de Ven this week, it's not a good week for you. It's almost as simple as that.
Yeah,
really.
I can confirm
and
that.
And I think that, yeah, no, but I didn't say that for Ukeli, although on a wildcard, I would have picked Mickey van de Ven every single day. I'm kidding. But that ownership is so high. It's true with those defenders that you have to take that in consideration as well when you build your team.
I did actually check, and Senesi surprised me. He's just under 27%. So he's not quite in the Arsenal defenders category, not but his far. Ownership's only going to go up, isn't it, really? Mm. Okay, moving on then. I think we're all in agreement about that. So just buy defenders and make sure you've got your two Arsenal ones and then some good ones. There's some really nice options elsewhere. But yeah, some of the other big talking points this week. Is he ever going to not be a big talking point, João Pedro? Sam, update us on his shots and his... Because, I mean, we can see that he's not returning in FPL, but the shots and the chances have been a bit of a problem. And I'm wondering when you're going to sell him, to be honest.
Now. I mean, I actually very, very nearly sold him earlier. And then I was like, no, I'm going to wait until this evening's, because obviously we've got League Cup happening this evening.
So sorry, we're recording on Wednesday night. I should have said that.
Yeah, so in my head, I was like, well, I'm going to go to Mateta, Crystal Palace, obviously playing after we've finished recording this podcast. So I want to make sure that he makes it through. Actually, he's on the bench anyway, so maybe you just stay there and be fine. As long as he does, though, João Pedro for me is... It's ridiculous, isn't it? Because you still look at the fixtures and you go, okay, well, I still think there's decent enough fixtures in there. But over the last few weeks, we've held him because the fixtures have been great and you've kind of gone, oh, he's got Sunderland, or oh, he's got... But actually, the underlying stats just aren't there. Like at the beginning of the season, he was doing really well and, you know, his goal threat looked good and he was having shots and, you know, all of that stuff. But actually, when you look at it, like, in terms of the actual number of shots that he's having, he's not even top across the Chelsea team. Enzo Fernandez is top. He's not even top for shots inside the box, which is kind of surely his bread and butter. That's where you would expect him to be. He's not top for big chances either. Everything's just disappeared. Like the underlying numbers just aren't there. And we could sit here all day and talk about how bad the underlying numbers are for João Pedro, but it's probably, you know, I don't think I need to say that. It does seem ridiculous to do it, given it's Spurs who, I mean, we never do very well against Chelsea anyway, but Spurs up next. But then after that, it's Wolves and Burnley. So it feels ridiculous to sell him, but I've equally held him through games against Nottingham Forest and Sunderland, who have been, you would expect him to score, certainly in the Nottingham Forest game. You would have expected him to do something in that one. So the fact that he hasn't, it's part of the reason I've gone for a different Chelsea player in my team as well. So that when I sell João Pedro, I'm still invested for Wolves and Burnley in a couple of weeks' time. But yeah, João Pedro is going to exit my team in the early hours of this morning.
Easy sell, Jules, isn't he? You've got rid.
I can't believe he's still owned by more than 50% of the managers. I won't lie. I will help you out on his Sunderland underlying, just normal stats. He had zero shots. His expected assist was 0.02. He had more DEFCONs in that game than actually touches in the Sunderland box, which means that he actually was more active defensively for Chelsea than doing anything with the ball going forward. So I'm just like, listen, whether he plays as a 9 or as a 10, right now, it's just not happening for him. It's not really happening for Chelsea overall as a team. And Sam is right. The only thing that could make you doubt is that after the Spurs game at the weekend, they will play Wolves and Burnley. Wolves are terrible. I mean, as in bottom of the table, terrible. And you know, Burnley are still Burnley, who play Arsenal this weekend, for example, coming up. So maybe in the bottom three when they play Chelsea. That's the only reason why you should think maybe bench him for that Spurs game and then start him, giving him a last chance. But other than that, really, there's nothing we've seen in the last few weeks that deserves him to be in your team, really.
Who's the obvious replacement? Because you could go Jean-Philippe Mateta, you could go Voltimada as well, or you could even go cheaper, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think if you haven't got Mateta, given the fixtures that they have coming up from this week, Mateta is the obvious replacement. Mateta's also had more big chances than João Pedro's had shots over the course of this season, which is mad. When I read that, I was like, that is actually mad that João Pedro would have less shots than Mateta's had big chances. So I think if you don't have, I mean, I know that we all know that I love Jean-Philippe Mateta, but if you don't, like, I do think he is probably the best buy. Voltimada, I still really like. I like him a lot. And I think the Newcastle fixtures are also great. So you can go there if you don't have him, either of those two. But you're right, Kels. Like, I don't think it's too ridiculous to go, well, I'll come right down, like, and take a load of money out of it. Like, Krupa Jr., how long we get with him starting remains to be seen.
That's why I didn't bring him in my wild card, because I didn't want the headache.
It remains to be seen. And I think, you know, if If you've already played your bench boost, though, I don't mind the Cooper Junior pick at all, because you can just sit on your bench and it's fine. It's taking value out of the bench and putting in the starting 11, which feels fine. Maybe Giyu is starting to come back into the conversation as a really, really cheap option as well. I think that there's plenty of kind of in the 6.5 up through sort of 7.5 bracket that you can go to. If you've got a little bit more money, then I still don't think Gyökeres is a bad option either, despite everyone wanting to sell him. So I think I would hold
Jules,
if I had him.
Gyökeres, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, on Mateta, I brought him in, and as you know, he's Paris-born and bred, so he's very special and everything. The only thing I'd be slightly worried about is he played 90 minutes against Bournemouth, where he scored a hat-trick, should have had 4, but scored a hat-trick. Then he played 90 minutes against Larnaca in the Conference League. Then he played 90 minutes against Arsenal at the weekend. He's on the bench against Liverpool. Okay, but those games are going to, because of Palace being in Europe for the first time ever, this is going to be very, very different than anything Jean-Philippe Mateta himself has gone through, that the club in itself has gone through. He can't keep playing 90 minutes every 3 days because at some point this is going to be a bit too much, even for us to own him in the Premier League, I think. So let's see how he manages all the game loads and all of that, because this is a lot. I'm glad he's on the bench for this Liverpool League Cup game. Then there's Brentford, obviously, at the weekend. Then there's Alkmaar, who are doing really well in the Eredivisie, in the Netherlands, in the Europa League again. A game that Palace have to win because they've lost that game against Larnaca that they should have never lost, where he played 90 minutes. And the thing is, you can play Nketiah instead of him, but he's such a different profile. This team is built for number 9 like Mateta, not like Nketiah, really. So you know that he has to play a lot in those games coming up. And that can just maybe be the little thing that worries us a little bit in terms of owning him in the Premier League, is that I fear if he plays too much, that will have an impact negatively on his performances in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually, isn't it? Those fixtures for Crystal Palace are going to keep coming. But anyway, Gyökeres, Jules, that's all the other thing I wanted to ask you about, because Sam mentioned him. She doesn't think he's a bad pick.
No, but then is there enough goals from him now to justify the price? Obviously, that's spot in your squad to start with, because he does a lot of things that are very good and very important for Arsenal overall within that collective. But the goals are still a bit missing there in the league. And I'd be okay if I was Mikel Arteta. But for us in the game, we still need returns. And he scored 2 in the Champions League. Great. But then he went to the weekend with nothing. He's on the bench in the League Cup game. So, let's see against Burnley on Saturday, for example. It's the kind of game where he needs to do something more than just helping the team out, holding up the ball, being a nuisance to the defenders, and etc. He needs to score in a game like that, where you know exactly what Arsenal is going to face. This low block, very aggressive, very compact, not much. This is why they signed him, to score in games like that.
Yeah.
So let's see. But I think right now, until he finds his mojo of scoring, it's maybe a little bit early to bring him in, because I think there are other options that are in more
cheaper
in
ones
better
as well.
Goal scoring form.
Yeah.
And cheaper one in better goal scoring form only, because he's in good form. It's just not, the goals are not, I think, coming regularly enough to maybe justify him in your team.
Yeah, no, I actually agree with you there. What about Igor Thiago, Sam? Because he's proven popular. Just shy of 200,000 people have brought him in at the time of recording, and he's even that little bit cheaper than Voltimada and Mateta. Could he be an option?
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely somebody that I'm kind of watching. The next two I don't love. It's Palace, obviously, in at the weekend, and then it's Newcastle. But after that, I think that the fixtures look okay. It's Brighton and Burnley, who, neither of those defences have been solid. So definitely there could be goals there. Then they've got both sides of North London, with Arsenal first and then Spurs. And then after that, it's Leeds, Wolves, and then Bournemouth before Spurs again. So there's definitely goals in those fixtures that they have coming up for Thiago. I do like that Brentford are starting to kind of find their mojo again. I think that obviously they had a difficult summer. They lost their manager, they lost their star players, 2 of both of them, the ones that scored all the goals last season. So it has been a bit of a struggle, but now they do seem to be finding their feet again. We're seeing the best of players like Sharda, of Dango, and of Thiago. So I do think that he is a nice option, and he comes in significantly cheaper, as you mentioned, Kels, than both Automata and Mateta. So if you are looking to take some money out of that front line because you want to invest it in the defence or because you want to upgrade one of your midfielders, he does feel like a really decent option. Plus, in the difficult weeks, he is a player that you could bench in order for you to be able to play that back four that we've been talking about. So, you know, in the game against Arsenal in game week 14, he's a relatively easy bench that week and then play four at the back instead. So he does make changing the formation of your team a little bit easier, because if you've got a front three that has got, you know, the players that we've been talking about plus Haaland in it, if you've got Voltomada, Mateta, Haaland, really difficult to bench any of them every week. So maybe Thiago isn't a bad option because he allows you to move the formations easier around the fixtures.
Okay, then on to midfielders. And I really struggled, actually. Once I'd put Semenyo and Saka into my team, I think there's quite a lot of variance that you can have in your midfield, particularly if we are now going bigger at the back. I also obviously opted to go for the three starting forwards each week at the moment in terms of Haaland, Mateta, and why did I forget my third one, Voltomada? Very forgettable last week, to be fair. I sold Reinders and I sold Kudus. Reinders is a bit of a frustrating one, isn't he, Jules? Because I nearly kept him purely because it was hard to find someone else at that price point. In the end, I actually decided to go down to Xhaka, which I think is about 0.7 difference. And it felt weird that I was happy to go with a Sunderland player over a Manchester City player. That was obviously to do with team balance. But also, Reinders, we were so excited at the start, and then it's kind of fallen off a little bit in terms of returns, hasn't it?
Yeah, you're right, Curtis. I think Sam mentioned him earlier as well. It's those games with 1 point, 2 points, games where you play in different positions, sometimes much deeper, like we saw against Aston Villa, for example, which is frustrating because he's really a box-to-box player. This is where he's really good at. That's where he was very good at for Milan, making those runs into the box that he can't really do when he's your deeper midfielder. And even when he plays higher up, when he does, because, you know, with Foden coming back, Cherki coming back to a good level, Cherki coming back from injury now, Bernardo Silva, who's always going to be a bit of Guardiola's favourite because of everything that he's achieved for him in that club and the quality that he can bring. I'm not even sure if Reinders is a guaranteed starter anywhere there compared to maybe others in this City team. So I think it's difficult to, again, justify him ahead of even a Declan Rice. Or there's even players who play deep like him who are bringing more points to their team, like Caicedo and Rice. So, yeah, I think if you have Reinders, it's probably time to say goodbye.
What about Kudus, Sam?
Oh, how's
I Kudus told you.
Genuinely, how has he not got me like...
I struggled to sell him because I was like, he looks like he has got returns for us, but and he looks like he should be getting even more. And as you, I think you said it to me on last week's show, he's probably been your best attacking player, hasn't he, really, of late? But unfortunately for me, part of it was, well, I can actually spend 0.2 cheaper and kind of use that 0.2 elsewhere. And I just don't. Is he the best player at that kind of price bracket?
He's been so frustrating, honestly, the last couple of weeks in particular. Backing, you know, game week 8, we had the Mickey van der Ven assisting him goal that got ruled out for offside the week before. He should have had a brace, like he had one off the crossbar, another one ruled out for offside. This week again, he was frustrating. The underlying numbers were there again. He's been really difficult owning Kudus. Do I think he's the best pick in the 6.5 bracket? No, not really.
He's that bit above it as well, which makes sometimes, as I realised, when you haven't got great team value, it's sometimes hard to find it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, when you look at where you could go and the other players that you could have, I mean, we briefly mentioned Declan Rice last week. If you haven't got those extra Arsenal players and you do want a cheap way in, I think he's a decent option. I think there's plenty, like Ismaïla Sarr. I really like that pick when you made that on wild card. Like, I know he didn't do anything for you last week, but I don't think you were really expecting him to against Arsenal. You didn't pick him for that game. You picked him for the ones that they now have coming up in the future. So, I think he's a really decent option. We talked about Brentford, like the Brentford boys are cheaper and, you know, fixtures, all right, maybe they're not as nice, but then Spurs have got a real mixed bag of fixtures coming up over the next few weeks. It's not exactly like Spurs have got brilliant fixtures. It's Chelsea up next and it's Manchester United. All right, they're both home games, but then we've got to go to the Emirates to play Arsenal, which won't be fun. After that, it's Fulham, Newcastle, Brentford, Forest, Liverpool. Who knows by the time we get to Forest and Liverpool what kind of teams they'll be. All right, at the moment they look like good opportunities to score points, but will they be, you know, 6, 7, 8 game weeks down the line? Who knows? I think for me, I kept him on wildcard. The plan was to keep him for a couple of weeks and then probably look to move him on. I think I've got other things I want to do though, so I'll probably end up keeping him. He'll be one of those players probably that sticks around longer than he should, because I do think that there are better options in that price point. But, you know, Spurs fan.
All I would say,
go on.
I don't mind Mohamed Kudus. All I would say is that Joe flipping Palinha has as many points as Mohamed Kudus in your team, and it costs you 1.3 million less.
And he's been significantly better, to be fair. Like, he's been really good when he's been playing.
Also, it kind of depends when if you look at their total points, it depends on which point you owned them, Jules. So you might have owned Kudus for all of his returns.
Of course. I was only kidding. No, sure.
No, but you're right.
I think he's a very interesting player to have. I'm just thinking he's still owned, I think, by over 35% of the manager, 33%, which I think is still a lot considering he's a bit hit and miss, certainly in terms of return. I know there's good things that he does in games for Spurs, for sure, and sometimes he feels that he's the only one creating something more than Xavi Simons or Johnson or Odegaard or Taylor, whoever you want. I just think that, again, there are so many good options. Even somebody like Mbeumo, who is obviously much more expensive than Kudus, but Mbeumo is now hitting the ground running, really, and he's doing really well for this United team that is improving. So if you look at even somebody like Mbeumo, who's now, I think, is the second best midfielder in the game in terms of points, that makes you think twice about somebody like Kudus and the hit and miss return.
And they're at the other end of the fixture ticker as well, Man United.
Do we need to start looking at them now, Sam? Because, I mean, I know it's early days, but this is probably the best Man United we've seen for a while in terms of starting to string results together and players returning.
Yeah, whether we see the consistency remains to be seen, because we've had this before with them where they've had a couple of good results and then they've gone regressed a little bit. So whether we get like constant continuity of good performances, we'll see. But, you know, if you roll the ticket from game week 10 through to game week 19 and the next wild card, Manchester United are top. The fixtures are nice. There's a lot of green in there. There's a lot of decent fixtures. I think over the last few weeks, we've basically been saying, well, if you're going to have Manchester United, it has to be Bruno and there isn't really another option. But there are other options now, as Jules mentioned. And the fixtures are actually there for defensive picks as well. You know, if you wanted to go for a Shaw, even a goalkeeper, if you're on the hunt for a new cheap goalkeeper, I thought, you know, he looked good last week. So yeah, with Manchester United, then Spurs, Everton, Palace, West Ham, Wolves, decent fixtures for Manchester United. I think we are going to have to start turning our attention there. The problem for me is that Kudus is, I've had him since the beginning, so I've taken the price rises with him, but he's still not enough of a price rise for me to be able to just move him across to Mbeumo. So it's a tough own because of the price point that he comes in at, because you have got so many decent options in the kind of 6.5 to 7 bracket. So looking for those kind of more expensive midfielders is a tough one, particularly if you're going to go for an expensive front line, unless you do what we talked about earlier and have Thiago instead, and then it's much easier.
Are you considering any United players, Jules?
Yeah, and Mbeumo is the one, really. And, you know, if we start talking about Semenyo, who has had back-to-back blanks right now, which is maybe not in the form that he was at the start of the season. Semenyo is 7.7 million, Mbeumo is 8.2. So there's not much there for you to switch from Semenyo to Mbeumo if you've got a bit of money in the bank, if you can have another free transfer and find some money there to switch from Semenyo to Mbeumo, especially maybe after the Spurs game, because I still think Spurs will be tricky for United. But after that, it's looking really good for United. So if you see that kind of improvement, like Sam said, they don't go back to that kind of inconsistency that we saw even last season, where they were good in the top games and then maybe not so good in the game that you expected them to be good, then I think Mbeumo is the best asset to have from the United team, I think.
Yeah, I wish that I wasn't particularly looking for them last week, but now when I think about it, I'm like, oh, maybe I should have been. But like you said, Sam,
play your wild cards. Do you still have your wild cards? Have you played your wild cards?
I'm going to wait a couple of weeks.
I wasn't sure.
I'm going to give them time. And then once I've played my bench boost, I'll be able to maybe play around and maybe I'll go away from my formation and then I'll have some extra money. Okay, we're running out of time. So just defenders very quickly. The Palace defence, I think a lot of people want investment in. Richards is an injury doubt. I think he's not playing tonight. Glasner hasn't ruled him out of game week 10 just yet. So fingers crossed. But do we need to go there? Do we need to pay the extra for Munoz, Sam?
Oh, Munoz, since I sold him, he's been brilliant. And I think, you know, worth the extra if you can afford it. But I do think that you don't need to spend it. Like Lacroix, if you've had Lacroix since the beginning, he's offered incredible value for money. Same with Mark Gahey. Like, I think, you know, Gahey's taken so many price rises now that actually he's kind of like, in that same conversation as LaCroix. And it's like, it's difficult. So really, if you do want to go cheaper, it has to be Richards. And then you should probably wait for the weekend to see where we are with him and his fitness levels. But I do not have a Palace defender. And that run of fixtures that they have coming up, not having one feels awful. Can I bring myself to sell Mickey van der Ven on the back of a 23-point haul? But I do feel like I need to invest in Crystal Palace defence for sure. I even pondered on, is it better to downgrade the goalkeeper and go to move over to Dean Henderson instead and do it that way? But yeah, I'm not going to be able to afford Munoz is the reality unless I'm happy to burn a slot elsewhere. So I'm probably going to have to look at one of the slightly cheaper options at Palace, which is why I might wait an extra week just to see where Richards is.
Okay, other defenders. I mean, I think at this point, if you own Virgil van Dijk, I think probably you would be selling, won't you? Gosh.
Well, you've conceded a lot of goals if you own him.
Yeah. I don't know many people that still own him, but there will be people that do in the hope that Liverpool pick up again, because those fixtures are great. But yeah, it doesn't feel like the time to go there. And Kukurea is an interesting one because there's a lot of upside with him, Jules, but Chelsea have been pretty consistent. But then you saw at the weekend, they still have bizarre results in them. Well, not bizarre, Sunderland brilliant, but at home, you'd have expected them to win that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and they're ninth in the table for a reason as well. It's because they just can't put that kind of run together. And as important as it could be going forward with the ball, certainly defensively, they have moments where they just not very good and then concede goals. So if he doesn't return going forward, which he's done regularly last season, I think he had 7 or 8 goals in the Premier League last season, something like that, maybe 6, and already started well this season. If that doesn't happen, then defensively you can't bank on them keeping clean sheet, because they don't usually do. So you end up with Sanchez with 1 point, Cucurella with 1 or 2 points. Defcon is not really his thing either because he's so attacking. So I think it's a difficult one if you own Cucurella, whether you keep him or let him go.
Sorry, defenders, I'm aware we haven't spent much time on you, but we're running out of time. Well, we did actually. We spoke about defenders a bit at the beginning, didn't we? And we've all said they're great, so it's fine. Differential of the week, congratulations. Both got returns. Sam went with Kruppi Jr. George went with Welbeck. Unfortunately, neither won, though, because you both got exactly the same 6 points. I'm going to let listeners into a little secret. Normally, Sam comes armed with many. Before the record, she was asking Jules who he'd got. And I was like, no, this isn't how it works. So because of that, Jules, you can go first.
Oh, great. My pick this week is Wilson Isidore from Sunderland. One, because he's French, obviously, and very handsome, as all Frenchmen are. And two, because he's in great form, guys. He's in really good form. 6 goals already for him in this wonderful Sunderland team that are 4th in the table. Nobody saw that one coming. Not even Magic Le Bris on the bench, only owned by 3.3% of the manager. So that's a proper differential. Not like the one that Sam picks at 9%, 9.5%, 9.9%.
Mine's less owned than yours, thank you.
Six. I can't read even how much it costs you, but maybe 5.6. I don't know. I wrote this bad. Okay, they've got Arsenal.
Jules, this is going to be quick.
Yeah, sorry. Hang on.
There's no point writing notes if you can't understand.
They play Everton this weekend at home at the Stadium of Light. This should be fun. And Isidore is really great. So go and sign him.
I'd advise people check his fixtures because I'm not sure Jules has said
Everton,
the right fixtures.
I'm sure. I could not read what I wrote. But yeah, Everton.
Available on the fantasy.premierleague.com website. Sam, which player are you going with?
I've got Kieran Trippier for you this week. So he's going to cost you 5 million. He's only owned by 2.7%, Jules. So, you know, less owned than yours, a bigger differential. So, you know, yeah. He's created 14 chances for Newcastle. That's the most in the Newcastle team. He's also supplied 40 crosses so far this season. Again, that's team leading. And of those, 16 have been successful. Again, that's team leading. They've kept 5 clean sheets this season. Only Arsenal have more. Only Arsenal have a better XGC as well than Newcastle. So, you know, everything is there for... This is why I picked Nick Pope. Like, everything is there for Newcastle clean sheet and attacking returns for him, especially as, you know, they've got a decent run of fixtures. So... it's West Ham up next. I would expect a Newcastle win in that one. So should be potential at both ends of the pitch.
Transfers and captains. What are you doing, Sam?
I am going to wait up and watch what happens, just to make sure that Jean-Philippe Mateta doesn't do anything to himself from the bench. Hopefully he stays there for the entire game. And if he does, I'll be doing João Pedro to Mateta as one of my free transfers. I've got two, because I made 3 transfers last week, so I've still got 2. I don't think I'll make another one. I think I'll wait it out for a Palace defender for the week after and just give myself time to work out what's going on with Richards.
Jules?
I'm good for transfers and I'll roll it on. The thing with captain is it becomes a bit difficult. Haaland at home to Bournemouth. Okay, yeah, potentially Bournemouth, the way they play, it would be an open game. But Saka, Burnley is tempting. Volta Mader at West Ham, because it's West Ham and they're not very good, is very tempted as well. And to be fair, so is Mateta at home to Brentford for Palace. So there's a lot of options really this season. And you know what? I think, just to go back as the loop about defenders quickly, the defenders are so good this season that you could even think about captaining a defender, a Gabriela, you know, away at Burnley, potential clean sheet, onset piece, because Arsenal could well broke the deadlock in that game on set pieces. I think Gabriela's captain away at Burnley is not a bad idea either.
Will you do it though?
No. You'll have to listen next week and find out.
Sam? He's not going to do it.
I do agree.
Do you want to bet? Let's bet.
It's not that kind of show.
I do it now. Let's do it.
Yeah, but you'll change it just before the deadline.
No, I swear to you, he's my captain. I confirm.
Yeah, but you've got so many days to change it.
No, I won't change. I swear to you, I won't change. Okay. Gabriela is my captain.
To be fair, I don't disagree that it's a bad pick. I think it's a brilliant pick. I agree. I just didn't think you'd do it. It's a fair play, Sam.
I'm between Baltimore and Saka, to be honest. I've been backwards and forwards between those two a week. I don't think Haaland's a bad captaincy option, but I do think Bournemouth are decent defensively. So I don't think he'll riot against them. And we've already seen him blank last week. So Saka or Baltimore, I don't know at the minute. At the moment, it's been on the bus team on Saka all week. So maybe I'll leave it with him. I do like that fixture away at Burnley, but then I do prefer away at West Ham with the way that West Ham have been playing.
I just keep replaying that miss in my head.
I know.
Won't miss again. Another miss as well, you know. It can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can. Both of them are in good form, to be fair. It's nice actually, isn't it, when there's a bit of variance on captaincy and we're all potentially going to go with something different. Okay, that's where we'll leave it. Jules is in a hotel lobby. Whereabouts are you at the moment?
In Spain, in Fuerteventura.
Oh, lovely. Well, we'll let you get back to
your holiday. Card here, we're very good this week.
No. Oh, congratulations to them. It means it's going to be rubbish this week. And Sam, you're in Dubai continuing the longest birthday ever celebrations, correct?
That is correct. I have milked this for all it's worth. Yeah.
Well, enjoy the last few days of milking it. Hope you both have great holidays. I'm going to be in rainy London. Reminder, it's a Saturday afternoon deadline. I don't even live in London anymore, so that was actually an unintentional lie. So get your teams locked in before 1:30. That's 90 minutes ahead of the 5 matches, which kick off at 3 p.m. The Fancy Show is back on Friday as well. Then Off the Bench will be back on Tuesday next week. It'll be Sam and Harry talking us through all the key talking points from game week 10. Have a good game week, guys, and we'll be back next week. Bye.